You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Is about healing. Does God heal today? I know a lot of us have a lot of doubts when we think about healing, especially physical healing, whether God heals today. You know, we've seen television, we've seen faith healers. It just feels fake, right? And you can't help it. And you know, you heard stories about it. So we have a general tendency to distrust faith healing. Also, you know, philosophically, the influence of naturalism, that supernatural things don't happen. This conclusion, really, we conclude the philosophy that, hey, you know, miraculous things don't happen, supernatural things don't happen. And but if you really think about it, whether supernatural things happen, whether miraculous things happen or not, can't be argued away by a philosophy. It can only be determined by evidence. Right? If there's evidence, it happens. If there isn't evidence, it doesn't happen. You can't just philosophically argue that away. Westphal, who was a theologian, he said this: if God exists, miracles are not merely logically possible, but really and genuinely possible at every moment. The only condition hindering the actualization of this possibility lies in the divine will. And the reality is that God does heal today, and we're going to be talking about this. And by the way, I'm not saying that the main way in which God heals today is through prayers and supernatural miracles. I believe that the main way in which God heals is through the medical profession. In fact, nearly always, I think today, that is the way in which God heals. God empowers, God enables the medical professionals. That's one way in which God heals. So continue your medication. Seek help from the doctor, whether it be Eastern medicine, Western medicine, whatever it is, pursue professional help. But in addition to that, God sometimes heals miraculously, spontaneously, and instantaneously. And he contracts, essentially, the normal healing process into an instant. And I want to start out talking about this by talking about what the Bible says about healing. Let's start with that. So turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And these are the first recorded words of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. This is what Jesus said. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Believe the gospel, he said. The central theme in the teaching of Jesus, and all theologians of all denominations essentially agree to this, is that it is about the kingdom of God. The expression appears 82 times in the first three gospels, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. It's the same thing. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, sometimes just heaven, is essentially a place or realm in which God is the king. You know, I'm a really simple definer of things. Kingdom of God, God's the king. It's the realm or the place in which he's the king. Most of us think of kingdom of God as something we'll experience in the future when we die or when, you know. And yes, it has a future element. Kingdom of God will be fulfilled, Jesus is saying, in a future time by a decisive event. And at the end of the age as we know it, when Jesus returns, the first time Jesus came, he came in weakness. The second time he returns, he said he'll come with power and great glory. History is moving towards this climax, this glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are there are over 300 references in the New Testament alone about the return, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nobody knows when, but we are told that it is a certainty. There will be a universal resurrection. There will be a day of judgment. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. He's going to restore all things into perfection. So if you see things that are broken, you know it's only seasonal, because someday he's coming and he's going to restore it into perfection. Jesus himself will be there together with all those who love him and follow him. It'll be a place of intense happiness, and it goes on forever. There will be glorious resurrection bodies that are pain-free, that will never die. It's not some sort of a resuscitation. It's that resurrection and living in a new realm of experience that we can't even fathom right now. There will be no more injustice. Amen. And there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crime, and there will be no more pain. And on that day, all will be healed. Amen? All will be healed. Until then, not everybody is healed. Until then. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 8, verse 23. He says this, "Not only so, but we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship." The redemption of our bodies. The final redemption of our bodies is a future event. So for many people we pray for, and really a lot of people that I pray for, have not been healed. But in the future, there will be a total reign of the kingdom of God, and there will be healing. It has not come yet, and it will come one day. But there is also, in the New Testament, a present aspect, not just the future, not just about what is the glorious future that is to come, and we need to hold on to that glorious future, but actually the New Testament reveals something amazing, this present aspect of the kingdom of God right now, that somehow we can experience what is to come in the present right now. Jesus says this. He says, "Time has come. The kingdom of God is near." And we see signs. We see dawning. We see a breaking in, a budding of the approaching of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is among you." And this kingdom is something that could be discovered and experienced right now. Yeah, that's right. You could experience this kingdom right now. And Jesus demonstrated the coming of that kingdom in his own ministry through forgiveness of sins, healing of the sick, and suppression of evil. Let me try to explain this theologically. Let me show you these two diagrams. Look at the first diagram. The Jewish expectation was that this age will come to an end, and then at that line, there will be a time when the Messiah comes, boom, the new age would start. The age to come would start. The Messiah would inaugurate a completed kingdom. Here's the modification according to Jesus. This is how Jesus modified that understanding. And we see this in a second diagram. So here we see that Jesus is saying that with his arrival, with his first coming, this age continues, but the age to come has already started. So we're living in a time when we're both living in the old age and the new age. You see that right now. The age to come has come with the first coming, but this age continues until the second coming. That's what Jesus has taught us. And what has happened is that the power of the new age has broken in to history, broken into the present. The term that theologians use is that there is an eschatological inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Can you say that? Eschatological inbreaking of the kingdom of God. I just sound smart when I say that. Let me give you an illustration of what that means. Let's say, you know, actually just a couple of weeks ago, I thought we're in the middle of summer, and then temperature just dropped down and it felt like winter. Do you remember that day when it's just suddenly turned really cold for a few days? That would be in the middle of the summer. We have a eschatological inbreaking of the winter. You know, so that's what I mean. You might say that if you're a theologian. The point is that it is a foretaste of what is to come. Jesus' ministry was like a foretaste of what is to come. The heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We can actually experience a foretaste, a little bit of the power of that which is to come. And we see this eschatological inbreak of the kingdom of God demonstrated through various powers. And one of those is the power to heal. 25% of the Gospels are made up of his healing. He didn't heal everyone, but he did heal a lot of people. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew sets out his gospel in a very systematic way. I didn't know this until I looked into this. This is really fascinating. So walk with me in verse 23 of chapter 4, verse 23. We think they're just telling stories and they don't really have a structure to their to the gospel. But look at how amazingly he structures the gospel, okay? So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, he says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And then in chapter 4, he says that. And then in chapter 5 to chapter 7, Matthew lays on how he preached and how he taught. So he focuses on proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And then in chapters 8 and 9, he sets out how he healed. In fact, there are 9 healing miracles that come one after another. And then at the end of all of these, he goes back to the verse that he said in the beginning. So if you look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it's exactly the same as Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. It says this. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and healing every disease and sickness. At the time of Jesus, they didn't have punctuation. Punctuation is a modern thing. They didn't have punctuations in their writing. So they had this grammatical device called inclusio. So what you did, if you wanted to start an inclusio, a section, to mark a section like a paragraph or idea. Right now, if you look at your Bible, you have these headers, right? Those weren't in the Bible originally written. Those are included by editors. But what the way Matthew did was he said one thing. And then after, he said Jesus went through all the towns and villages proclaiming the gospel, healing the sick. He says this. And then he talks about all of those things. And then at the end, he says the same thing. And that just marks, okay, my section is over. My section is over, right? This is a section, inclusio. It includes everything. That he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and he healed the sick. Those are the two main things that Jesus did. And then in chapter 10, verse 1, he says this. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. So now he empowers his disciples to do it. If you look at verse 7 to 8, it says this. As you go, proclaim this message. What does he teach them? The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So he says, basically, go. What do? Proclaim the kingdom, heal the sick. That's what he says. And it, you know, that go do exactly what I have done. And then it's not just the 12. If you look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 2, he first commissions the 12 in verse 9. It says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Kingdom of God, heal the sick, comes together, right? And then when he commissions the 72 in chapter 10, verse 1, he says this, and after the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he's about to go, and he gave them this instruction to the 72. If you look at verse 9, it says this, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal the sick, preach the kingdom of God, right? So Jesus did it. He proclaimed the gospel, demonstrated the coming of the kingdom of God by healing the sick and dealing with evil. And then he says to his disciples, now you guys go and do it. Tell the people the good news of the kingdom of God and demonstrate the inbreaking of the coming of the kingdom by healing the sick. And then at the end of the gospels, he commissions all of them and in effect, all of us. This is what he says, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. This is called the Great Commission. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. And that's us here today, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do everything I've commanded you to do. And what did he command them? Teach people about the kingdom of God, the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God, and demonstrate that fact that this kingdom has now broken into history and that we are living in between the first and the second, and to go and demonstrate that power by healing the sick. And that's what they did. They went out and did it. They didn't just talk about it. They actually did it. And that's why the next book, the story of the apostles, is called the Acts. Because they went and did it, not just talked about it. They preached the good news, and they demonstrated the inbreaking of the kingdom of God into history by healing people. And as we go throughout the New Testament, we see that this happened all over the early church. This was not an exceptional thing. This is something that happened throughout the early church. It was in the life of the church. And so we should also expect God to heal as a part of the activity of the kingdom of God. Jesus inaugurated the kingdom. Kingdom of God is here, is at hand, and his power is available to us. You know, we see this all throughout church history. If you look at the second century, the Apostle John, disciple of Jesus, actually discipled this guy named Polycarp. And Polycarp discipled this guy named Irenaeus. And Irenaeus, in the second century, speaks about healing the sick by laying hands on them. And then in the third century, a church leader named Origen, a biblical scholar, a theologian, he says, the name of Jesus can take away diseases. In the fourth century, St. Augustine, perhaps the greatest theologian of the history, he wrote a book called The City of God, and he describes a lot of different healing. And he says, I can't even record all the miracles I know. Even now, many miracles are at work. And then he lists tons of them. They're just stories and stories of people who are healed. And this healing has continued down the centuries of the history. We see it in the Bible, we see it in church history, and we also see it now. God is still healing people today. You know, in preparation for this message, I asked some people regarding their experience of God's healing in their lives. A friend's little sister once fell from the second story when she was young, and she ended up in a coma, and her father desperately prayed that she would be healed and come out of the coma. And she did get out of the coma next day, I think. And this led her father to commit his life to mission and to preach the good news, to heal the sick. He became a missionary to Mongolia, a very influential missionary in Mongolia. She also told me about her uncle who was healed from the last stage of liver cancer. He was in a hospital deathbed. The doctors had told him that there's nothing he could do. It was a matter of days before he was supposed to die. And my friend's dad prayed for healing. And he boldly spoke God and said, hey, if God's going to heal you, you're going to have to commit your life to God after this. And amazingly, he was healed. The doctors couldn't explain the disappearance of the cancer from his liver. And right now, he's one of the leaders of his church. You know, Ernest, come on down. Ernest also has a story. He wrote to me, but I want him, since he's here, I want him to tell the story directly. Ernest has been a part of New City from the beginning, from even before the launch. So, Ernest, tell us the story.
Hello, New City. Yeah, I want to share my story. I was in May 30, 2003, I surrendered my life to the Lord. And before that, I was on Skid Row for like 14 years, living on the streets and worst of the worst. And, doing all kind of crazy things out there. But in May 30, 2003, God, I walked away from it. And I never looked back. And I began to grow. And I began, God blessed me with a job and a place to live and, with dreams, that I wanted to fulfill. And but I wanted the life and life more abundantly. And one of the things about people that's on Skid Row is, like, they don't want to know what's going on with their bodies. And one thing I said to myself, well, I want to know everything that's going on with me. So what I did was I went to the doctor and, and I got checked out. And so there's a test came back positive for hepatitis C. But I was told that it was HIV at first. And I'm like, this guy's got to be crazy. But, I got a little shook up over it, and then I went back and I found out it was hepatitis C. And, I had an infection in my liver and stuff like that. And so, the doctor asked me, well, you can go on and live your life, and as long as you stay away from alcohol, drugs and stuff, you'll be all right. But, he said, you can go ahead and start the treatment. So I said, no, I want to start the treatment. And that's the way I feel about my new life. I wanted to be the best I can be. And so, I went for it. But 30 days with, starting the treatment, I rejected the medication. In other words, it didn't work on me. It was, like, too much for my system. And so the doctor said, well, come back in a year or so or whatever. So, but I was really determined, to better myself. So I came back in 2008, and then I came back in 2011. And at the time, there was I started treatment, and then there was a New City Church. There was a healing room, and I think Jonathan McCracken was leading that or whatever. But I decided that I was going to let God work on me, and so I went to the healing room. I mean, after taking the medication for a couple of months, I went to the healing room here, and my focus was just believing in God that's gonna He's gonna heal me, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they prayed for me. I felt so good. I went home and I relaxed, and And so after that, the next morning, I looked at my computer, and I see my sister send me an email, and she said, you're a good candidate for a miracle. So it kind of touched me because, a good candidate for a miracle, And it just sent chills when I think about it, And then, so I laid back, and I'm resting in the bed, thinking about, all the things God's going to do for me. And so I get a call from a USC, the nurse, that was actually taking care of me and giving me the medication and all that stuff. She said, I got some good news for you. And I said, what? Yeah, what? She goes, the virus is gone. But, my thing is, if you believe it, you can receive it. I was just on fire for the Lord, and God has taken me. He's just taken me through so much, and I've learned so much, and I've grown so much, and I believe it.
Amen.
And I received it, and it was just, one of those things where, my sister, I never told my sister about my situation or my, the thing with the hospital. And I never talked to her about it. I talked to her later afterwards. But, because I was just wondering, why did you send that email to me? It was just just, I don't know, it's exciting. And so I want to share that story with you guys. And like I said, if you believe it, you can receive it.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Thanks for sharing that. Praise God. Sometimes God works with medicine, without medicine. Maybe it was part of his treatment and part of what God has done before he was rejected. Later on, God allowed the treatment to work. So praise God. As I was kind of looking and talking to various different people about this, my mother-in-law told Grace and me this story of healing in her life. And I want to share that story with you. She said this. This is her talking. I've experienced in a direct and powerful way God's gift of healing, first as a recipient and then as a bearer of it to others. God reached out to heal me during one of the darkest times of my life. At the time, we were still recent immigrants and didn't understand English well, but we were attending an all-Caucasian church because there were no Korean churches in Omaha, Nebraska then. My infant son died after struggling with pneumonia. When that happened, we stopped going to church regularly. Our hearts were heavy and broken with sorrow and bitterness towards God. We had lost an infant once before, so we were especially upset with God. How could he let this happen? The church's women's group, knowing about our loss, repeatedly invited me back to church, but I kept refusing. After a while, especially upon the persistence of a woman named Carol, I gave in and allowed them to come take me to church. The women gather around me hand in hand and earnestly lift me up in prayer. Despite the language barrier between the women and me, God worked through them with his Holy Spirit. I felt weak in my legs and collapsed, but I could hear them I can hear everything. God spoke to my heart these words, "Love always perseveres." I was filled with a peace that I knew was not of this world, a heavenly peace. I realized that my children were not mine to have, but merely mine to take care of for a short while. And God opened my eyes to see all his creation, even flies, as lovely and precious. When I went home, I looked up those words in the Bible and found them in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7. God's persevering love healed my heart and helped me to persevere. With this healing, as I drew near to God, he gave me the gifts of healing and of speaking in tongues. We moved to Austin, Texas, where we joined a Korean church in which I became heavily involved. I served by visiting the sick and newcomers. And even in this, God helped me by suddenly giving me the ability to find my way to places which I hadn't previously had. This is before GPS. In order to do the visitations. God used me to heal about half a dozen people. One such person I remember was a woman who had been in a hospital for a week with a bloated stomach. The swelling just would not go down. And after I laid hands on her and prayed, the swelling went down. And later that day, she got discharged the next day. I didn't know she had been healed until she called to thank me. Another such incident was with my husband, who was in extreme pain from a kidney stone. And after I prayed for him, the pain went away. He's a physician, and he remarked that God must have given me the gift of healing. A third occasion in which God healed through me was with my son, who slipped and hit his head hard on a concrete floor. There was no time to take him to the hospital, but upon prayer, he became okay again right away. Of course, we had him examined by a hospital later on to make sure. In all of the instances in which the healing occurred, the first step for me was to have compassion and empathy for the patient, to feel fully what he or she was going through. With this care for the person, which God himself gave, God enabled me to pray intensely with all of my being so that I was drained of all my energy at the end of prayer. even if it was short. I knew that to heal or even to pray so mightily was not due to my will or intent, but due to God's will alone. Amen. That's my mother-in-law. She's amazing woman. I never expected these kinds of things, but God had been working in her life. You know, I think in many ways, I think it's easier to believe that God heals than actually believe that God can heal through people around us, or maybe even through you. God has actually gifted some of us with the gift of healing, because that is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he gives to the church. It might be you, but you would never know because you never try. It's like God gives you the gift of teaching, but you would never know if you never try teaching, right? Maybe God gave you the gift of healing, but you got to try it. You got to start praying for people in order to know. You know, I don't think I have the gift of healing, but God has worked even through me. A friend of mine was suffering from a severe hearing loss. He virtually lost his voice, lost his hearing. And he was in my office when we were on the second floor at the Spring Arts Tower. And after sharing a meal together, you know, I asked him if I can pray for him. And so I pray, and you know, before I pray, what I did was I kind of went behind him and say, "Hey, can you hear me?" And he couldn't hear me. So I kind of went to the front of him and said, you know, and pray for him. And after I prayed for him, I kind of went back and asked him, "Can you hear me?" And he's sitting right there. I said, "Can you hear me?" He said, "Yeah, I can hear you." And I kept on going back. "Can you hear me?" "I can hear you." "Can you hear me?" "I can hear you." "Can you hear me?" And I was like way in the back, right? And I said, "Turn around." He just looked back and started to cry. I remember something had happened, and I was like, did a miracle just happen? You know, I don't know if it was my prayer, because I know that a bunch of people were praying for him at the time. It wasn't just me. The whole community was praying for him. And a few years later, actually, he started to struggle with hearing again. So it wasn't a permanent solution. And I know that a lot of people surrounded him with prayer once again. And now he can hear again. He does have a permanent, some sort of a chronic condition. I forgot the name of it. But he can hear better now again. God is a God who heals. One day, we will have a new perfect body. This life will never reach perfection. You know, when God heals somebody miraculously, it is a glimpse of the future, and the future that would take place when the final redemption of our body will take place. But no human being can avoid death. And sometimes, you know, we can't just pray to avoid death. Sometimes they're going to die. We're all going to die. Our bodies are decaying, and at some point, it might be better to prepare a person for death rather than to pray for healing. We need to be sensitive about the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we pray. But we shouldn't be discouraged, because when we pray for no one, no one gets healed. But if we pray for lots of people, not everyone's healed, but some are. Now, I pray for many people for healing. And as John Wimber used to say, when we pray for no one, no one was healed. Now we pray for everyone, and some are healed. And even those who are not healed often speak of the blessings of the experience of being prayed for the love that they experience while being prayed for. You know, God gives some people the gift of healing. That doesn't mean we can just leave it to them. Oh, yeah, you know, I don't have the gift of healing, so I don't need to pray. It's like sometimes God gives some people the gift of evangelism. It doesn't mean they are the ones who are supposed to do all the evangelism. We're off the hook. We're called to pray for healing. We're called to do evangelism, all of us, even if we're not gifted. All of us have to pray for people. So how do we do it? How do we do it in practice? It is God who heals us, not us. We have to remember that. None of us have healing up our sleeves, or there's no technique involved. It's simply love and compassion. Jesus had compassion on the people. And that's why he prayed. He had compassion and he prayed. And we pray with love and simplicity because it's not our prayer, it's the power of God that heals. Sometimes God gives us an impression of some sort. And to pray for someone in terms, in a particular way, some people call this the word of knowledge, a word of knowledge. So sometimes God gives us an impression to pray for a particular person in a particular way. And I think when there is a word of knowledge, there's, you know, I've seen healings happen more often. How do we pray? How do we pray? There are various models in the New Testament, but I think it's just always think simply. In the name of Jesus, sometimes, you know, we see in the New Testament, they laid hands on the people, and sometimes they anointed them with oil. I don't know. Just try that, because that's what they did in the New Testament church. Laid hands on people. They anointed people with oil and asked for healing. And after praying, I think it's important to reassure the person of God's love, regardless of whether they're healed or not, to give them the liberty to come back and to pray for them again, and not to put any burden on them. Certainly not to suggest that it is their lack of faith that caused them not to be healed. Never, ever say that. You know, the Bible actually does not say that. It sometimes says it's your lack of faith as the person praying, but it never actually blames the victim. So we never, ever do that. Jesus never said that. And we go on praying. And to ensure that people's lives are rooted in community. So even when we're struggling together, we mourn together, we are together, we love together. It's not that just because we pray doesn't mean everybody's going to be healed. We, whether they're healed or not, we continue to do community together, to mourn together, to live together, to love together. We are together because, as I said earlier, not everybody is healed. I've had many... I have not had many experiences of God's healing through me. I've had some experience. But the reason that I go on doing it is because I believe it is what I'm called to do. God told me to do this. And we're commanded to do this. We're commanded to pray for healing. It's as simple as that. And therefore, even though, you know, my batting average is pretty low on healing, I continue to go on healing because it's not about me. It's really about God. And I just keep on doing it because sometimes God heals. And I go, I'm always the person with the least of the faith, and it's surprised and go, really? Maybe it was something else, you know. But God does heal sometimes. So we have to be persistent. We have to go on and on and on and pray. God is a God who healed in the past, healed throughout history, and continues to heal now. This God is not a God who changes. Our God is a healing God. And the power of the kingdom of God that is to come has broken in, and we live in this world where we can actually access that power. And so if you're here today and... if you need prayer on healing, what we're going to do today is that right after the sermon, you have the option as we sing, and after the worship service, you can go there as well. But if you go upstairs and exit right through the double doors to the right, there's a place called a green room, and our healing room, people in our healing room will be ministering right after the worship service today, and right after the worship service, after the second service as well. And so, you know, the healing room is a ministry that we've been having for years, and we pray for word of knowledge, and we pray for healing. And we've seen some amazing things that has happened. Even when God doesn't heal, they experience the love of God through prayer. And so if anything, physical ailments, anything that you've been struggling with, even, you know, the healing room could pray for deep emotional wounds. If there's deep something that needs to just come out and be prayed for, whatever it is, you can go to the healing room today and ask for prayer. These people have been trained, and we run the healing room first and third Sunday of each month at 11 o'clock, usually in a church office. But today we're going to do it right here in the green room of Los Angeles Theater Center. And so just stop by right after the worship service. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you that the kingdom of God has come. Lord, when you return, it will be, your coming will be complete. And we look forward to that day, oh Lord. Because it's not just about some heavenly thing. It is about the restoration of our bodies, about the resurrection of the dead. It is about the finality, the coming and the beauty of all the facets of the beauty of the kingdom of God. But Lord, thank you so much that you have made a glimpse of that power available to us now. That what is to come has broken into the present right now. And so, Lord, we don't understand the mystery of when someone is healed and when someone is not healed. But clearly, you do heal, and you commanded us to preach the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God and preach the good and demonstrate that good news by praying for the sick and healing the sick. So, Lord, that's what we want to do. We just want to obey you. And so, Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray that your hands will be upon us. Guide us, oh Lord. Give us the boldness to live biblically. Oh Lord. Give us the boldness to know that we live in that age of eschatological inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Fill this room with your presence and with your love. Now, I want to pray for you right now. If you've been struggling with a physical ailment in any way, place your hand on that place of ailment. Let's pray together for healing right now. Place your hand on a place in your body that you've been struggling with, whatever it is. If it's a deep wound of emotional variety, you can place your hand in your heart. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. And I pray that your hands will be upon each and every person who is ill, who desires to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord. We pray that your hands will be upon each and every one of us, Lord. That your power will flow through our hands and bring healing into our bodies, oh Lord. Allow the power of what is to come to break into the present right now. Lord, heal the brother who's struggling with that ailment. Heal the sister struggling with that ailment. May the power of God be upon that person in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.